What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, podcast for everything flag football officials. I almost got it right. I'm your host, Jacob. I'm here with Ant. What's up, bro?
What's up, man? Hey, you just got to roll with it. You know, sometimes you stumble over your words. Just go with it, bro.
I'm just like a baby giraffe, man. I'll figure it out maybe one of these days. Probably not.
What?
Just stumbling around, bro.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
That can't be that hard of a comparison.
Are there baby giraffes in North Carolina?
Actually, they're Jordan probably has them in his backyard at the where we have one of the largest zoos in North America.
Okay, fair enough. Cool, man. Hey, so, you know, we always like to talk about all the fun and craziness going on in the wide world of flag football. And this weekend did not disappoint. I know we had flag football on CBS Sports Network, which was cool.
Absolutely. Right? It was really cool. Yeah, man. Saw you on there. It was really cool to see.
Hey, man, I paid $10,000 for those seats, bro.
Wow. Wow, what a waste of money.
No, you know what though? I do have a bone I gotta pick with you real quick, man. You know, before the women's game. Okay. You came up to me and my daughter, and you're like, oh, you guys got to move. Can't be here. And so we went all the way around. We had to, like, sneak in, and, like, we were, like, for the women's game, like, we were, you know, crouched down, you know, just in danger. We were, I mean, it was crazy. Okay. And then we look over, and the place where you told us to move was filled with people.
Look, I'm just doing what I was told, okay? I was asked to have people move away from that area, and guess what? It just refilled. So, you know, I just do what I'm told, man. I just do what I'm told.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
You gotta be so hateful about it.
Like I said, I just had a bone I had to pick real quick. Okay. You know?
So which bone did you pick?
The pinky.
Sounds about right.
Hey, man, it's no minivan, but let's go ahead and get going right into who our guest is tonight.
All right, let's bring him in. Please welcome Mr. Tacky Bar, the one, the only Kev up in the New England area. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Kevin, man? Good to see you, bro.
Nice seeing you, too.
Hey, so, you know, we always like to give people the opportunity the first time they're on the show just to kind of share their origin story. I don't know if you're into Marvel, you know, superhero movies, but every good superhero has an origin story. And you are absolutely a superhero when it comes to flag football. So, Kevin, just let us know, what's your origin story, man?
I think I'm like the wreck or amateur superhero. I'll wear the cape.
Somebody's got to do it.
I was thinking of that stat today, actually. I've won pro, comp, rec, amateur, and then an open, but they've all been different formats. So I'm like, I can wear my hat in a couple of different places, I guess. But yeah, so I've been playing flag for 12 or going on to 13 years, or 13 going on 14. It's been a little bit. So started with me and my buddies like hanging out one day. My friend was like, hey, like, I saw this flag football thing. We also played tackle. So, like, do you want to give it a shot? And we're like, yeah, why not? You know? So we went, we played. We were in, like, the lower division. We ended up winning it just because we were young and had some speed on our team. And we kind of just kept it going from there. Found out about travel ball. Started playing that. I've been traveling for flag for the last, like, 5 or 6 years now, I want to say. And just kind of exploring and meeting new people. And then I developed Tacky Bar about 3 years ago. Ironically, my first ever bar I made was about 2 weeks after Worlds about 3 years ago, which all kind of snowballed in from flag to Tacky Bar. So I don't know if you guys want to ask questions or not about that, but I'll save some of the origin story of that if you want. But me playing flag, I've been just traveling for a little bit now and obviously have my boots going and still – being able to play here and there.
Yeah. Well, let us know, man. Tell us all about Tacky Bar. What's that about?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I developed it. It was kind of hit me like a light bulb at Worlds. Like I said, like about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know. I'm so bad with that stuff. But just I ordered an AFFL ball, got it for Christmas for myself, and then I was like, oh, I need to like get something to get it like darker. I had no idea how to like prep a football. I just kind of like was like Wilson bar. I've seen people use it. I'm just gonna get that, I guess. I go on their website, they're sold out. I go on Amazon, they're selling the same thing that they sold on the website for $25 for like 60. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just get like a third party. I don't really care if it's Wilson or not. Google search, nothing. I'm like searching. I was like, wow, that's weird. Like, wouldn't you think someone would have something else for that? Like a compromise to it? Nothing. I was like, all right, kept that in my back pocket. And then we went to Worlds. We're hanging out by the pool one day. Quarterback, Steve Tambo, you guys probably know him, but he walks out and he's like, there's like 20 of us, because obviously, as you know, we all usually get like a Airbnb close so everyone hangs out, or we have a big one together. And he goes, does anyone have a wax bar and a brush? All 20 of us said no. And I was like, all right. So the next day I go to Worlds and I'm just looking around of all these people. I'm like, they're probably in the same situation as us, because it's flag football. Of course, like people are going to forget this, or they may need a new one. So that when I got home, I really just hit the ground running and just started like developing, like literally with a melting pot in my on my stove with like a little tin can in it, and like melting some like stuff together. Like, yeah, it was weird. It was sketchy. Probably shouldn't have done that in hindsight. I had a yeah.
As
It
long as
was
you got the
weird.
exhaust fan on, you're fine.
Yeah. I tried to microwave something, and that was a bad idea. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thankfully, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna work. And then I was like, yeah, I have a headache. I need to like air out the whole place. But
Fantastic.
yeah,
Breaking Bad of tacky bar here.
Honestly, that's how it was. Like, I was making him in my kitchen for the longest time. Just, now I have my own room for him and what have you. But yeah, so it just kind of snowballed. I started doing, just developing it, bringing it to leagues, and just showing and asking people, hey, can you try this on the low and just try this out, give me some feedback. And then from there I've been just building it. And I've had a couple NFL teams trying it out. A lot of major D1 colleges have been using it and liking it. So right now I've been gearing up just for the spring ball season and like getting that set out. I just sent one to Georgia for them to try out, and it's like perfectly aligned. I talked to the equipment manager. He's like, it's going to be perfect for us to try right for spring. And then hopefully, develop a relationship, and then they want to order more, or, go into partnership or something of that nature. But thankfully, a lot of the feedback I've got has been super positive. But I still do a lot for Flag. I try to, at least, as far as like the booths I had at Tampa this year and then last year too.
Nice. Jacob, you have a funny story with Kevin or a good experience you want to share about him?
Oh man, so the first time I ever met Kevin, he probably, well, the first actual interaction, we saw each other in passing probably a handful of times. We were in New York,
Oh no.
2022, and I remember there was another team from Massachusetts having a nuclear meltdown. Kevin just comes bebopping over to the table. Me and Coop just got done handling it. It was just the two of us up there, and he comes bebopping up to the table. And he's like, "Yeah, we deal with these guys at home," and we talked for about an hour after that. So Kevin's probably one of the nicest guys, easiest guys to talk to, super fun to be around. Yeah, I have one of the first tacky bars still. I don't get a chance really to play much, so I don't get a chance to use it a ton, but I do have one. It's a great product. So, and supporting Kev's just it's an easy thing to do. Kev's such a good guy.
Appreciate it. Off the field. On the field, I get a little feisty, but
Yeah, so I have an interesting, first impression of Kevin that, I just want to share. I don't know if you remember it, Kevin, but it was at Worlds. You were playing. I was officiating. So I don't know. Maybe it was rec or novice. I'm not sure which division it was. It was definitely non-contact. And I just remember almost every single play whether it was you thought you had a sack, you thought it was an impeding, whatever it was, you would get up, look at me, and be screaming and yelling. So animated. And so, and here's the thing, though. That game, it was a really close game. And you were just, you were just hyped up. Like, it was just a really good game. Ends up happening, the game was either tied or you guys were down by 1 point, something like that. So you come onto the field. It's the other team, that's their first play of the drive, and you get a safety to win the game.
Yeah.
So you lose it. You're just going crazy, all this stuff. So for some reason, though, you happen to stick around after that game, and you were watching the next game that I was officiating. So after that next game, you came up to me and you were like, "Hey, man, I just want to apologize. I watched you officiate, and you actually aren't biased. Like, you officiate every team the same way. I just want to let you know I was just really excited. I was really hyped up, so I'm sorry if I took it out on you, because you are actually being pretty fair." So I was like, "All right, fair enough, So,
that sounds like me.
Yeah. I will say that, that was first experience. I think over that weekend, I just happened to be officiating a lot of your games, and so we had a lot of interactions. But, man, as a former rusher, it's exciting to see you play. You bring a tenacity to the game. You are so hyped up about it. And you are somebody that's not the first, the only game that I ever saw you win, by getting either a safety or getting a huge sack on third down or something like that. So if Tambo doesn't praise you, if he's not, paying NIL deals for you, or, if he's not taking care of you, then, I'm sure there's teams out there would definitely pick you up. So hopefully he is. But
he gives me my flowers.
There we go. Fair enough. So, so tell me about this team, though. It's still called Nasty Boys. Is that who you primarily play with?
Yeah, right now. So I don't know. I'm like in a weird transition. Like, I love playing with them, and I've been playing with them. My first ever travel was to FFWCT Battle of the North, New Jersey, in like 2019, and it was kind of a, not put together, but a couple like, "Hey, we need someone." I'm like, "Hey, I'll rush." And they're like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." They saw him in a couple leagues and stuff, so he gave me the shine, because a lot of teams just wouldn't, but yeah. So after that, I kind of played with them ever since, pretty much. I'm trying to like play more like competitively now. Like, I want to see where I kind of like weigh in, if I, because like I said, I won a pro this past year at Worlds as a rusher at Airedale Co-Ed, which is good, like a little different than five non pro, because, the RPO and ever. But so we've been playing together, though, for years now. I can't, like, since 2019. Yeah. Traveled to Vegas with them a couple of times, and it's usually Steve and his son is running it. This kid Kenny, he's like the middle linebacker. They kind of run it together. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, will I leave and go play pro? Maybe, but I would probably do like five man, like Aired Out style pro, and like five man non. But then I would stay with Nasty Boys for anything else if they needed me, because then I probably wouldn't be playing. I don't know. It all depends, But I played with them this past year.
Yeah, so you're from, where are you from? New Hampshire, Connecticut?
New Hampshire, yeah.
Okay, is that primarily where all these guys are from, or somewhere? Yeah,
mostly Massachusetts and New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen some of these episodes, but my geography is absolutely terrible. I do know that there's an area called New England. I understand, some of the states that fall into it. I at one point, I think I took a ferry from Connecticut or Rhode Island to New York. Does that sound?
I think like, that was Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island. Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah. So I've been to those states. But what does the local scene look like in the New England area? You know, what leagues do you play in? What are your favorite? You know, what's all that about?
You've probably seen me. I don't really like contact. I've played, you know, I've done contact enough. I've won a couple tournaments. I've won the leagues, but right now, mostly there's a 6-on-6 draft style league. The draft is actually happening this Sunday. And it's just a captain and then 6-on-6, no center. So the quarterback starts with the ball, live fumbles. You can punch the ball out. Yeah. It's push out of bounds. It's insane. It sounds like it's like a blood fest, but it's pretty well managed. I like it because there's so much separation, you know, because it's 6-on-6. So like if you're on offense and you're a little bit open, you're gonna make a play if you make one kid miss. So that's pretty big. 5-on-5 non-contact, but they don't do USA flag rules, so you can't pitch and lateral. There's like one league that's about like an hour and something away that it's just not worth it. They're like 45-minute games, 50-minute games. It's just for me to travel an hour to play a 45 or 50-minute game just doesn't add up to me. But yeah, I just got shoulder surgery like about a month ago too. So I'm out of playing for a while, but I'm trying to think of any other leagues that I would be playing in. They do like co-ed too. Co-ed's big. There's like a draft happening for that. And a lot of draft leagues are a thing now because a lot of teams, it'd be like two or three top teams and everyone else would just get killed. So they just stop signing up. So a lot of people are developing the draft league. So everyone has like a fair chance, hopefully.
Yeah. So as me and Jacob here, we're newly appointed as your agent. We just want to announce to the pro flag football world that Kevin is available. He's recovering from shoulder surgery, but he's right there, pro. He just won a pro championship in Tampa. You know, it's selling, Jacob. What do we got to lose?
We're
right,
we're looking at 2 to 4 business months for my guy Kev to be sitting. You know, we're gonna let him rest and heal and get better. But when he comes back, we're expecting top dollar, top merch. We're expecting everything. All right, my guy needs a red carpet rolled out.
Just for my 40 time.
Yeah. We're not worried about that. We're not worried about the numbers. Don't matter. The only numbers that matter is what they sign your check to. Once they sign the check to us to give to you,
right? Exactly.
So I do wonder though, why don't you play contact more? Because I actually think that as a rusher, the way your style is, you probably would dominate on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I've played, you know, that 6-on-6 contact league. I've won that twice. There was a 5-on-5 contact league. I won that before. You know, I won defensive player of the year and I only showed up for 4 games out of the whole season as a rusher. Like I can do it, but I don't really like to, I don't know. Like I'm 31 now and I just got that shoulder done. I'm like putting it in perspective. I'm like, wow, like this kind of sucks now, you know, like I don't like to be like, not, you know, and especially at Tampa, dude, those guys that play contact, they're playing contact. They're like, dude, I'm sorry if you land on your neck, but you're landing on your neck. Like back here, it's a little bit like, Hey, I know you got work tomorrow, man. Don't worry. You know, you're not really in this play. I'm not going to block you, you know, but Tampa, they'll just light you up like a Christmas tree. Cause they can. So,
and that's nothing personal.
Trust me. Trust me, all those guys are cool, but like when I see contact and I see these big dudes walking out there and they're slamming a Bud Light before their game, I'm like, yeah, that's the person I don't want to be near at all, because that's going to end up me in the hospital for a couple of days at least.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, I do think there are probably too many pro contact teams that have former D1, D2 tackle linemen on their line. You know, a few NFL players, right, are you know, in the Camel City area, right, Jacob?
What's up?
There's a few NFL, Camel City.
What about it?
Don't you have a few NFL players that play on the line?
Yeah, yeah. We had Detroit. We had a guy named Nick Collins. He played for – oh, God, who did he play for? I can't remember, but he's a monster. We've had a few, man. Those are just the top two that just come off the top of my head.
Yeah,
they just want to put their hands on you. Pause.
Yeah. So I completely understand that, Kevin, because when I was – after I blew my knee out and I just didn't have the movement like I used to on the line, but there were a few times I went up against Detroit and I was like, this doesn't make sense to me anymore. Like, I can't do this.
I'm going to stick to the non-contact and, you know, we'll see where it takes me for there, but I don't need it. We won New York that same year, Jacob. We won contact there, five-man open. So did I play a lot? Not really, but, you know, I was still playing. You know, I made enough plays to, you know, pat myself on the back, and I was like, whatever. I don't, you know, don't really care.
Take a picture with the trophy and crack a Bud Light and get on – keep on moving.
Exactly. Thumbs up. See you later. Appreciate that. Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So, Jacob, I just I don't know how you feel about this, but I want to do a brand new segment tonight sponsored by Tacky Bar. It's a rapid fire question with Kevin. How do you feel about that?
Well, let's lock in and rock and roll.
All right, Kevin. So here's what I need from you, man. I just need your response. I don't want you to think about it. Okay. I don't want you to worry about Cambo's feelings or anything like that. You know, it's really just give us your honest response. You ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, cool. What's your favorite league in New England?
Fundamentally, yeah, fundamental.
Okay, and what about that makes it your favorite?
USA Flag. They do a lot of non-contact style. The commissioner is just great people. He's helped Tacky Bar and myself a lot. So, and it's just fun. Like honestly, your game's at 7. You're there till the last game because everyone's just hanging out. Just very big, like, family feeling. It's fun. It's a good time.
Cool. All right. Most memorable win or loss from a game?
Whoa.
Well, that was weird.
He didn't want to answer that. What'd you do?
I've never seen that happen before. He literally
just disappeared.
Oh, that was crazy. Here we go. I don't know what happened.
I literally get that question and then it just goes to a survey. I'm like, what? very confused. But probably most memorable win was probably, I mean, the pro chip, because I literally always joked with my friends. I was like, I'm never going to win pro, so I'm going to probably retire if I do. And then 843 Elite asked me to rush for them in that, and we ended up winning. I get defensive MVP, and I'm like, it was like surreal. I was like, well, now I can't retire because I really actually won. But, you know, that was like super surreal. Like, didn't like make sense to me until after. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. But a couple years ago at Worlds, this is when Rec, it wasn't like amateur yet, it was just Rec. So there was 70 something teams in Rec.
72 teams. Yeah. I remember that. That bracket was unreal.
We played Nasty Boys, we played and we went undefeated all the way to the championship game, and we lost in the championship game. So that was like my first like ever, like we were just on fire, everyone's clicking, like I'm really getting experience from different teams. I might have said I'm like that on there, and I was like watching pro. And I was like, I can never say that again if I'm playing rec or anything lower than pro. Yeah, lesson learned. But yeah, we lost, and it was just devastating. We're like, I could have like banked $1 million that we're gonna win. Like all my best friends were there because they played and they were watching, and we lost. And I was just like, damn. I just sat down. I was like, wow, like that hurt. But I mean, helped us get better. And then the next year, we ended up winning 4-man. Like amateur, but you know, that was cool just to get that one back.
Yeah, well, I actually think I officiated the 4-man that you guys won. I went through that bracket with you guys, so
yeah,
those were some good games in that novice or amateur or whatever one it was.
Yeah, I think it was amateur. I don't even know. It's
yeah, for sure. What's your favorite late night snack?
Favorite late night snack? I'm like a guy that stays on a pretty good diet. I know it doesn't show, but I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
It could be a healthy snack.
Yeah, but that's boring. I mean, mind you, I just ate a cheat meal, so like on the way back here, I housed a whole burrito and a taco with chips. So maybe like nachos. I don't know. I anything salty. I don't like sweets, so anything salty. If you give me a Cheez-Its or something, I can house that. The extra burnt or extra toasted Cheez-Its, yeah. Game over.
Have you ever done the saltine challenge? Six crackers in 60 seconds?
No. Never. That was big when I was in high school, and I was going to do it with a friend, and then we ended up never doing it, so I was happy about that.
Okay, fair enough. So not a quarterback that you play with. Who's your favorite quarterback in flag football?
Probably Eric Holiday. I just hate him because every time I rush him, his play calling is so good. Dude, I've the last time I played him, I batted the ball tipped the ball like four times, and I swear it helped the spiral. I was going insane. I was literally like going insane. I'm getting like four fingers, bam. I'm like, yeah. And I look and I'm like, dude, are you? I literally looked at him when I'm like, how, man? Like, he's like kind of like the same height as me, so it makes sense, but. Yeah, I mean, his play calling is really good. His arm's really good. There's probably other people I really like too, but his is coming to mind.
Yeah. Okay. Which rule in flag football do you hate?
Man. I mean, as a rusher, I hate the if they're in bunch and then like that whole like you have to go around because even if they like. The furthest person goes underneath and clips me, they never call it, even though they're going out of their way to hit me. So that's probably the most irritating thing. Cause I literally just extend my rush all the way out just to try to like avoid that or to make it more blatant that they went into my lane. So, but when I play quarterback back home and it's USA flag, I use bunch all the time. It's the best thing. So just on the other side of it.
Yeah. Do you have you played the Olympic format yet?
No, that's another one I really want to get into rushing because that's more of my style. Like, obviously, I'm not a speedster, but you know, taking away that middle, you know, with my height and you know, being able to pull flags is really big. So I'm gonna try to start pulling around and seeing if teams need me. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay. So favorite Netflix show.
Like Netflix exclusive or just on Netflix?
Just on Netflix.
Probably like Breaking Bad. I don't know. I mean, Stranger Things, like all the popular things I watch, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a wrestling fan too, so I guess Raw's now on that. So I guess that counts too.
There you go. Mm. All right. Final question. Who's your favorite teammate?
Like ever?
Ever.
Oh man. I'll probably say Corey Webb. I don't really play with him as much. I've played with him here and there in a couple tournaments, and it's just easy to read off of like what he wants to do, and he's super smart, you know. I feel like a lot of people kind of doubt that, and obviously at pro level everyone's fast and smart and stuff, but he reads the game very well, so he doesn't have to be like making a crazy like, oh, I'm gonna jump that, like just the small nuances things he does. And as a rusher, makes my job a lot easier because like if I'm like, hey, I'm gonna do this, but what if there's a star shooting back? He's like, oh, that person there. I'm like, cool, like I don't. So, and he's like a good friend of mine too, so
yeah. Nice. Cool. Well, you're off the hot seat. Jacob, you have any questions for Kevin?
Man, that's it. I think I'm good, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining the show tonight. We appreciate you and everything you're doing for flag football with the Tacky Bar. Thank you for being willing to push through the headaches and the cooking in an RV to make tacky bar what it is today.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys. And like I said, I came from Flag and I'm still in Flag. So like, hopefully when this really, hopefully it blows up or gets bigger, I'll never, you know, forget about Flag and, you know, hopefully one day like give back to Flag in a big way. And that's the biggest thing I'm trying to do. You know, when there's like that slow period of days where I'm not getting orders or I'm not getting as many orders or just like not social interactions with like social media and stuff, that's in the back of my mind of like why I started and why am I continuing this. And you know, hopefully one day, you know, I'll be able to get back, but right now I'll be at those tournaments. And feel free to come up, say hi. You know, like I usually have a couple extra chairs if people want to chill and just like, you know, just chill out. I don't know, just hang out, you know, talk to me. And DMs are already open if you want to just, you know, ask me or give me feedback on Tacky Bar. The worst feedback is no feedback, and I can say that because a lot of people from Flag will hide their feelings until someone else says it, or they just get fed up, and it's not the way of doing it. Just tell me. Just if you don't like it, you don't like it, or if you do like it that much, then I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Cool, man. Well, you have a good night and enjoy that burrito and taco that you just devoured.
He said I housed it, man.
Dude,
hey.
Gone. risky business before going on a podcast, but
hey man, you're good.
Yeah. All right, Cam, have a good night, man.
Be good,
you
man.
You too. Take care.
See ya.
I didn't want to call you out, Jacob, so I can just go ahead and reflect on myself. When he's like, oh man, I get stuff, you know, and I have a burrito and a taco. I just think about like the party pack that if I really put my mind to it, I could devour that entire party pack by myself.
Yeah, I could house it.
Like that.
I like that phrase, man.
House it, huh? Okay. House it. All right. And he had that little New England accent to it also.
Yeah.
So that was
yep. Nah, okay, cool. like Kev said, man, he's the easiest person to talk to. You know, every tournament we always end up having a good couple good conversations. So if you're in the market for it, he's even got apparel. So if you're even just looking for a shirt or something like that, hit the guy up. He's good, dude.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's like I said, man, it was the first experience I had with him. I was an official, he was a player. But I think that I was probably the same way as a rusher. I was real intense. I was always hooting and hollering. I probably said stupid stuff in the rec division, like, I'm like that. Like, I definitely remember, when I sacked Jonah in the co-ed game. In rec division, I was like, going crazy. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should tone it down a bit.
Where was that when she was on the show? You didn't get all amped up when she was here?
I mean, I brought up the fact that we played each other.
Okay.
I have a great picture of me like diving for the flag. It's like the best flag football picture I have.
Is it on your fridge?
No, it's, I have it framed. It's in like a, you know, massive, it just, every time I walk in the door, that's the first thing I see.
Just walk in first thing, just touch the wall.
it's like in Notre Dame. Like I'm always
just
like,
walk by, keep going.
Yeah. Hey, so man, I mentioned it, earlier in the show about just this past weekend, the wide world of flag football. So, before we get into talking about just the CBS games, just around the country, we've been trying to plug some local leagues and get people interested about it. So there are a couple of things I wanted to bring up to you. First and foremost, Compete Fives. It's a brand new, they're about 6 months or been around in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is the southern part of the state, for those that don't know. Where Colorado Springs is, it's where the Air Force Academy is. So they always kind of have, you know, solid teams put together because there's a big military following there.
Yep.
So they just getting going. They've got a podcast that they got going. They've got, you know, all kinds of graphics and And but they've got a really big trophy. It looks like it's got plaques, so it'll grow, you know, like the Stanley Cup, which is cool.
Cool.
You know, so they had their fourth tournament this past weekend, and you know, my guys, the Bears, they dominated once again. They got into the championship, and I think it was 30-0 at halftime, like. Game over, you know. maybe they ran one play to start the second half or something, but it was pretty bad. So that being said, though, I like the direction that Colorado's moving. They got Compete Fives now, PF3, which has always been pro eight man's all we're doing, we're the best eight man, this and that. They are now going to have a five non-contact league this spring.
Wow.
So that's
exciting.
Yeah, you know. So that's exciting to see that. I know Apex, which is an indoor league, they're doing fives non-contact. They're adding sixes contact. There's some other leagues out there like North Metro. They got the CFL. But it just seems like, in general, the direction is headed where I always wanted it to go, which was USA flag rules. Let's get, you know, Colorado to a place where they can compete. So that's exciting to see. The other thing that I noticed happened over the weekend, and I definitely want to hear your opinion on this, is Tough League out of LA had a 1v1 tournament.
Okay.
So you know, Tough League, we know we're gonna have Greg, who, you know, officiates with USA flag. He's the play-by-play for anything that they, you know, any broadcast that they do. So they were streaming it on YouTube. 1v1s for flag. How do you feel about that? Just 1v1s for flag. What are your thoughts?
So I don't think they're – I don't think they're flag. I think when you do the 1v1s, you're just doing a one-on-one. That's all it is. I think what's his name? Destroying, the YouTube guy. I think he's pretty much kind of put the blueprint for all of us who are gonna, like, organizers of what to do, what not to do. You know, I'm not sure where that guy gets his funding, but I mean, it's a concept, and it takes out the crutch for people who want to talk. It makes them, holds them accountable. Hey, if I can lock you down, put the seatbelt on, you know, it's you and me. That's it.
Yeah.
If I can route you up, it's just you and me. That's it. I don't mind the concept. I don't think it's something that should be done a ton, but that's just my personal opinion. Yeah. By the way, Greg has a fantastic face for radio broadcast for that.
So. So the way that they did it is it was like four downs to score. Each player, you know, got a chance at wide receiver. Then they would go to DB, and they did it for three rounds. And then if there was a lot of ties, and after the third round, then it was longest yard. So one play, whoever gets the longest yard. So first and foremost, what I noticed across the board is everybody was gassed, like, after the first round. Yeah. I mean, you know, playing wide receiver and DB, four downs, no break, four downs, no break. You know what I mean?
That's a lot. I mean, that's eight downs, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And, and you don't have a sub. The quarterback is throwing to your side every single time, you know? There's no relief there. So, so that was interesting. I just, my only thing is, I think that it becomes really, really hard to try to officiate in a flag way when you're doing 1v1.
I don't think you can.
Yeah. You just have to let them do what they're going to do.
Yep. I think it's, you treat it like tackle. Excuse me, I'm sorry. You treat it like tackle, and you just, I don't know, you just let them play.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Yeah. So ultimately what happened is I think when the championship came around, it was kind of dragging on because basically every play was a penalty and their penalty assessment was maybe needs some adjustment because they were just replaying the down over and over and over again. So there was no consequence to the DB. He's like, I'll just keep fouling because sooner or later this wide receiver is going to be tired. So that's what ended up happening. It was an interesting watch. Hey, I'm thankful for it because it gives us all kind of clips because their footage is very like, you know, right in your face. Here it is. So we have perfect examples of what a hold looks like, what a DPI looks like, OPI. So, hey, you know, thanks Tuff for providing the content for us. But let's move on to the biggest, most exciting part of the weekend. I don't know about you, man, but we were there. We were there live in Tampa. But how were you feeling on Sunday being able to watch those games?
Anxious because, you know, I'm sitting at home or I'm sitting, you know, at the games, I'm sitting in the end zone. So I have just one view of myself. Plus, you know, I've got people around me asking questions, talking, trying to balance, you know, running a tournament in the midst of all that. So there's all of that. Whereas where I'm at home, I can focus solely on what's on TV. So being able to hone in on just that, it was a little nerve wracking because what you see during the game is not what you see on TV, you know? So for me, you know, I'm taking notes, I'm looking at things, you know, I'm trying to think of ways that we can improve it ourselves, you know, from an operational standpoint on the game to, you know, do the refs get this call right? Do they get that call right? And I think both crews did a fantastic job. Made me feel really good about, you know, who we had out there and who we asked to represent us, you know, on the national broadcast. So shout out to the 8 of them who really – actually, the 10 of them, excuse me. I'm going to give my auxiliary people as well who worked with the broadcast team during the games credit as well. But yeah, you know, it was cool to see. I was really excited. It was really interesting to see how they could take a 24-minute game and stretch it out to an hour.
Lots of commercial breaks. I don't know if you've been to an NBA game recently, but it's amazing to me how many extra timeouts they throw in there. Like they're just like, oh, timeout here. Nobody's calling a timeout.
Yep.
So, you know, we didn't do that. You know, that wasn't what was happening live. It was just a, you know, game with the two timeouts and that's all they got. But CBS certainly added a lot of TV timeouts in there for sure. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to me about the auxiliary ref and what that all looked like. That's something very different, and it's not like that's something we have for championship games normally.
So that person had two roles. In the event one of the officials on the field went down or something happened where we had to remove them, we had that person. We could slide right into place. Knows what's going on, is a part of the game, all that. The real reason we had that, because typically in a tournament setting, we don't have something like that. But the reason we had that person had a radio as well as the crew on the field. And every 2 minutes, our crew chiefs, Lance and G, they were calling timeout on the radio for that person to relay to a CBS producer. So that way the time, you know, they could have reference points of time in the game. And if you notice this on the clock, they ran the clock pretty close to what the game was. That game clock was not synced to anything. You know, it was cool to see. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to give too many secrets away, but that game clock was, you know, they used the time references that we gave for that purpose.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely say in my few experiences with like live stream games, me as a crew chief trying to communicate with someone that doesn't necessarily know what's going on with the game, and they're asking me constant questions about the score or who got that or what down is it at time, it made it very hard for me to continue to stay focused on the game. So, I mean, I think that's amazing that you guys kind of added that bridge so that G and Lance could focus on the game, which is most important.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
Do you think that down the road there's going to be more championship games that will end up on CBS, or do you think it's going to kind of like this is where we're at? It's five non-contact.
I think it, I'm not really sure. Obviously, you have to see what kind of the reviews and what kind of viewership they got from doing that, and just see where it goes from there, and if there's another deal on the table. I know we, a couple of us who worked that game, who really had hands on that game. We focused on, you know, and already have brainstorming discussions about how to improve from our end. So if it does happen, if it happens more often, what we're able to do to make it work. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, from my viewpoint, both, you know, being on the sideline and then watching it, this past Sunday, I mean, I love it. I'm just a fan of flag football in general. So it's exciting to see.
Yeah.
And my life has just changed drastically from all of my screen time. I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but there was a point where every time the camera was pointed at whichever team was kind of headed from left to right, I could see myself, and yeah. I just feel like the whole world saw me as well, and that's exciting.
So I just, you know, at the beginning of this show, you brought up the fact that you had a bone to pick about the fact that I made you move, or I asked you to move, but here you are talking about how much screen time you got because of where you moved to. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Is that's correct?
So, okay, so – in reality, I should be thanking you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Time, or do you want?
No, you that's great. Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things. You know, like, yeah, I'm never happy, bro. That's what it comes to.
Me either. That's fine.
Oh man. Okay. So you know. Here on Clocks Running, we are always about, we're all about officials. We're all about breaking down rules and coming up with scenarios. So there was an interesting clip that I had three different people send to me today. And it is out of, here I am dry snitching, Red Zone Sports out of Florida. So, yeah, I don't know what rules they use. Anything like that. When we get sent a video, we're just looking at it for USA flag rules, because at the end of the day, that's the best, and everyone should just convert to that rule book. That's my opinion. So, yeah, you know, and so let's just keep talking about that rule book. So I don't care what happens with whatever local league and the fact that they, like Kevin was saying, that they can punch out the ball and it's a live snap.
That'd be fun. Just once.
I don't want to see that rule book, and I don't want to officiate that game either. So this clip is essentially you got a bunch formation. From what I can see from the angle, and I'll explain it, and then I'll tell you how they explained it to me. But from the angle of the camera, essentially what it looks like is the center snaps it, the quarterback puts the kind of stamps the ball on the back of the center and takes that hand off and grabs it with his other hand and then, you know, backpedals. So then a rush comes in and then he ends up throwing the ball.
What?
So number one, I was like, right away, I'm like, well, what was the purpose of doing all that if he was going to throw the ball anyway?
Yeah.
So
I'm confused. I don't understand what happened.
Yeah, he basically rested it on the center's back, and as if he was changing possession to the center, and then the center, you know, then he picked it up from the center's back.
Yeah, you can't throw it at that point. Wait, no.
No, you could throw it. You just can't run. So, and the way the rule book says is basically there's no give and go. So if you put it on, if you put it on the center's back, the center needs to run now.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen. And so
it's a backwards lateral. It's fine. You just can't throw.
So it doesn't kill the quarterback clock.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, so I don't know. Because possession didn't change. From what I saw, the quarterback had it in his hands the whole time.
Yeah.
And was just resting it on the center's back.
Yeah, then it's just a fake at that point.
Yeah, so he essentially took the snap, hesitated, and then he threw it. Is kind of from what I saw.
Yeah, so what's the issue?
So then the quarterback and the center very quickly, like, they happened to, like, I guess they saw that this clip was now on social media, and right away that, you know, the center's like, no, I was holding the ball.
Oh, wrong word.
What? How was I supposed to say it?
No, not you, the center. I'm not talking about the phrase. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, so he
hands on the ball.
So he snapped it with his right hand. And then he held it on his back with his left hand. So then
I need to watch this clip.
So the quarterback took the snap, rested it on the center's hand. That supposedly took his hands away. So possession had completely changed. Then he took it back from the center. And then, in their eyes, had the option to run or pass.
A lot happening there. No. A lot going on.
Yeah, so this is just what I said. And I said, look, from the angle you showed me, in real time, if I see that happening, if there's no rush, then my clock is, you know, still going. Because I just feel like it's a snap. That's what it looks like to me. And the quarterback cannot run. That was my opinion on it, you know. I don't know. I, you know, definitely watch it, check it out. But
yeah.
It's and they did say, they were like, in this league, it's legal. We run it all the time. You know, our whole playbook is centered around doing things like this. I don't know.
It's a bold strategy.
But yeah. So I will say that I lost a very important rec game in Arlington one year because there was a team out of Texas, Red Rum is what they're called, mm-hmm. and they would essentially the quarterback would take the snap, the center would rest it on his back and not move, and the quarterback would, you know, kind of turn their direction to act like they still had the ball.
Yeah.
Our defense would shift their attention to the quarterback, not thinking about the center, and the center would run right up the middle and get 15 yards.
Smart play.
And I'll be honest with you, they did it to us 3 times in one game.
Were they successful 3 times?
Yeah, they sure were, sir. Hey, they sure were.
That's cool. I don't want to say that's embarrassing, but that's cool.
It was pretty embarrassing, especially because the third time they did it, they were like on the 7-yard line and they scored a touchdown that won the game. So, yeah, it was pretty frustrating. So,
yeah. Did you run right by the center as the rusher?
So I was that was non-contact. I was only playing in the contact formats at that point. So.
Oh, so you were you were riding some pine. Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, good clip to watch. Again, yeah. I appreciate all the examples. I think that is a good example of the rule that kind of states that there's no give and go with the center. So basically, again, my understanding of that is if it gets rested on the back of the center just needs to run because it's a handoff. And so
lateral it. You can do whatever you want, but it's a handoff.
Yeah. Yep. So cool. Well, man, anything else you want to talk about as far as the CBS game or anything else that happened this past weekend?
You know, I know we have, you know, some other things planned down the line, so I won't go into too much, you know, about the CBS game from here. But yeah, we talked about this weekend a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, we're getting started back up with the tournament circuit, you know, where it will be in New Orleans this weekend, or Baton Rouge, excuse me, be in Baton Rouge this weekend. Small tournament. Pretty excited because we're going to be on LSU's campus, so I'm really excited about that. I'm hoping to be able to swing by the stadium and take a peek and do that. It's kind of a bucket list thing for me is just to go to different stadiums and check things out, so I'm pretty excited about that. A lot of new teams that I don't know. So I'm excited about that as well. It's always good to see new teams and new faces and you know, see how different people play from different areas. So New Orleans has got a big 7-man following. They're starting into fives, you know. So we'll see what they're made of down there. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, what is that? What's the stadium called? The Swamp or what is it?
I don't know what it's called. It's like Tiger Stadium or something.
I know the Swamp's Florida, but
I do know where the park at we're playing is. It's literally right beside the Mississippi River, so that's kind of cool too, I think. So
that'll be cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Shout out to Elite coming from Colorado. I just happened to see this is a new option that maybe in the past I've thought of but I never did. They rented an RV. And so they're driving from Colorado to Baton Rouge, and that's where they're also going to be staying over the weekend, I guess.
That's smart.
Yeah. You know, because I'm sure flights and all of that, it could be
Mardi Gras weekend.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. That's exciting stuff, man. I mean, I feel like everybody, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about Tampa. Everybody's still kind of just recovering it. I think the CBS games is a good way to just kind of like bookmark it and say, hey, you know, this was Tampa, you know, 2025. This was, you know, a culmination of it. We've almost wrapped up our little Elite 11 bracket, which has been a lot of fun, you know, to see. A contact guy, Shaq. Won the defender bracket, which was cool to see. So
you know what? But Shaq's a baller in contact and non-contact. He's a problem whenever he steps on the field. So kudos to him for getting the recognition he needs and deserves.
And it's been interesting to just see certain players that like are truly campaigning for votes. Like they definitely they've got their, you know, they've got their local team, you know, resharing it to get votes. They've got, you know, somebody else that they're resharing it. Then you see like some random people that you're like, they don't know anything about flag football. They're just voting for their nephew, you know. Like
absolutely.
So you know, power of social media, and that, you know, that's been cool to watch. So you know, that being said, man, tell us where we are, Foxtrot, and where can you find us?
You can find us absolutely everywhere. The best place to see our ugly mugs and all the nice, awesome guests we bring on, like Kev, like Chun and Coop last week, anybody who's been on the show thus far, you can check us out on YouTube. If you don't like watching podcasts and you just like to listen, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on all those different platforms. You know, anywhere you get your podcast from, that's where we're at. We have merch. We've got some pretty sweet merch. We got hoodies for sale. We've got t-shirts because, you know, we're just a couple of chill ref guys. I think I've hit up everybody who ordered hoodies about, you know, shipping or how we're going to get it to you because they all just came in. The t-shirts are probably another few days out. So as soon as we get those in, we'll reach out and get that straightened out. But we've got, you know, we got a bunch of stuff cooking. Chef Ants in the kitchen, you know, getting all sorts of stuff. You know, he's going to have a sweet apparel line for us set up here in the next little bit. Just be sure to check us out. Any stuff you like, hit us up. But yeah, what else am I missing?
Oh, no, you know, and yeah, the merch, it's fun to play around with that and try to introduce new stuff. We just, Yeah, we're just a couple of chill refs, you know, and and hey, if you are a player, you're an official, you're a director, or you know, you're a vendor that's connected with flag football. Hey, we are the place to be. Come on to our show, hit us up, let us know what you want to talk about. Otherwise, we are gonna grill you, you know, and then we'll put you on the hot seat. It's just gonna happen. And so so that is definitely, you know, we want new people. We want new guests. We don't want the same old, you know, old guy, ape man, blah, 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 talking about triple threat. But we don't want those guys. We want what's new and exciting. We want the women of Canada that dominated in Tampa. We want we want officials that live in Minnesota with the Super Soakers team. You know, we want this to be all over. You know, we want different countries represented. We want the whole scope of the United States of America. Even if I don't know where that is, we want you on the show.
I'll get him there. Don't worry about it. You just tell me where you're at. We'll get him there.
Exactly. So that being said, we are you know, kicking in season two. We have been having lots of fun. Please send us your clips. If you have a question about a rule, if you're wondering what this call was, you know, just realize we don't care about touchdowns. It's meaningless to us. We don't care about the one-handed catch that with the deflated ball. That doesn't matter. Which is
sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me see that shirt, man.
Hey, check it out. My guy Kev took care of me in Tampa. Got me a pretty sweet tacky bar, long sleeve tee.
I love it. That's amazing. So hey, Kevin, shout out to Kevin Tacky Bar. You know, we appreciate you coming on and just sharing a little bit about your story and flag football for you. And hey, we got you covered. We're going to get you on a pro team in 2 to 4 business months.
All right. As soon as our shoulder heals up, you're there.
So that being said, man, Jacob, I appreciate you and safe travels as you head to Baton Rouge. I'll be updating scores and hey man, get on the sidelines, bro. Interview some people.
I have a job to do, man. That chair's not going to hold itself down, okay?
Oh, okay, fair enough. But I feel like you might have something special for at least one or two people out there that you spend a little time with, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go. So Clocks Running's going to take care of you, but you better mention us. If you don't, Jacob's going to ask to see your phone. And if you don't subscribe, follow, like, if you're not on our social medias, get out of here, man. Don't waste our time.
Get out of here. Get out of town.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'm going to go house a 12-pack of tacos from Taco Bell.
Whoa.
And yeah, man. And we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good night.